Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
It's Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Thursday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It would be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Arbo.
That would be a little weird.
Wherever you are
very
in our
strange.
Yes, yeah, Strange Brew, even.
That's right.
Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. Whatever you're cooking out on the grill this weekend, nothing beats the sizzle of beef. And if it, you know, you're thinking still, I think it's going to warm up a little bit, but hey, I'm not going to say anything if you want to do a pot of chili this weekend. I won't judge you, and neither will Robbie. We're not judgmental people for the most part. Sometimes, I don't know.
I'm ready for this weather to
it's gonna be fine.
Hit the old dusty trail.
It's gonna be fine. Whatever you're cooking, beef is the ingredient that makes it all better. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thank you to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you're looking for. I know that you are looking for it. You are looking for great new gear. They can get it at College Corner with the logos that you want and with the name brands and awesome gear that they have. Two locations to serve you in the Jackson area, originally by Fleet Feet, Flowood by the Half Shell, or you can shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler, Starkville's flagship restaurant for lunch, dinner, or Sunday brunch. Best meal in town is at Restaurant Tyler. Robbie and I will be at Restaurant Tyler today.
Can't wait.
We have set this up with our friend Sam Sklar, who was on the podcast Monday and admitted he had never been to Restaurant Tyler. Well, we're gonna fix that. We're gonna right that wrong on Thursday afternoon. So we're looking forward to a great meal and a great time. Anytime is a good time to go eat at Restaurant Tyler, except for breakfast. They're not open.
But brunch.
Brunch.
Right after breakfast.
Sunday brunch, yeah.
Some people wake up a little later, and that's breakfast, technically.
It's fine. Any meal can be breakfast.
It definitely would have been breakfast for me back in the day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know.
I think brunch was invented by some hungover college guy, and he was like, who told his girlfriend he was going to take her to breakfast, and then he didn't wake up until like 10:30.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, I thought we were going to breakfast. Oh, no, we're going to this thing called, you haven't heard of it? It's called brunch.
Yes, breakfast
and
lunch.
It's like you can get breakfast stuff or you can get lunch stuff. It's both. And there's mimosas.
That's something. And that is something that we would have come up with had that not been created yet.
I agree.
It would have been one of our million-dollar ideas, and it would have been at Restaurant Tyler.
There you go.
Mississippi River Biscuit.
For the win.
Yep.
Priority One Bank, 16 locations to serve you throughout central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide. They'll show you not only where they're located, but they're going to show you, more importantly, how they're going to help you invest and manage your money and prepare for the future. Now more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you need to get answers. You need them on your schedule, not somebody else's. You need a bank that provides a level of service like you're only going to get at Priority One Bank. If you live in central Mississippi, you live near a Priority One Bank location, let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Now, yesterday we were kind of down, Robbie.
We were.
Today
was not great.
Today we're back up.
Okay, let's go ahead and address the science.
You know what I need to do for you?
Well, okay.
I got to get you a lab coat.
Yes, and I put on glasses.
Yeah,
and I have a Bill Nye the Science Guy segment.
Robbie Falk.
The Falk and Science.
The Falk and Science Minute.
Scientific theory.
Yeah.
Here's how science and math and things work. There's hardly ever a 100% probability.
Well, very rarely.
So,
there's always an outlier.
While this is great,
yeah.
While this is great, and some of you have asked, is the science sexist?
Mm-hmm.
No. I think we should say that women's basketball applies here.
Okay.
I think we can include women's basketball in the science.
We should inclusive.
We just very rarely have a women's basketball situation. Now, last week, we did. Mississippi State versus Florida in baseball. I mean, in women's basketball, mm-hmm. 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then Mississippi State baseball, and it turned out the baseball team won, women's basketball did not.
Right.
So we will include women's basketball in there. I'm not including some of the other sports. I'm not going to include tennis and that stuff. That's just it's too much going on there.
Mm-hmm.
But there is going to be times where the science is debunked. And I don't need people coming after us and saying, oh, your stupid science is so dumb, on the 100th time that Mississippi State finally gets a win.
Yeah.
They're 99-1.
Yeah.
We told you this is stupid. No, it's not. The science is the science. There's times where it comes to fruition that it's debunked.
Yes.
Tonight was one of those times.
Yeah.
Softball won. I'll include softball in there in the mix.
Sometimes things happen. You know, meteors hit the earth, man. I can't help it.
Yeah. But the science still reigns supreme. But I will tell you, we are happy that the science was debunked on this occasion. And hopefully, if we can get, you know, two or three more of these things, maybe we can start pushing the science to the side, but right now the numbers are the numbers.
I need to like download a little Thomas Dolby to play behind this.
Yes,
sometime. Well,
it's poetry in motion. Science. Yes, we do need that.
We need to have like Robbie's laboratory.
and like
say omelet du fromage.
Omelette du fromage.
Oh, yeah, there we go. Sorry.
Yeah, we definitely need the, and blinded me with science.
He blinded me with science.
Yes, we need that in the background. I agree with that.
Yeah, we need to make that happen.
The science.
I need to get you a lab coat for sure. I can make that. That's probably the easiest thing to do.
And I need like the crazy hair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the young Einstein thing.
Exactly. So the science was debunked tonight. Some have asked.
I need to.
Does it count? It counts. I'm gonna allow it to count.
I'm gonna need to Photoshop your face onto that thing of Einstein with E equals MC squared. Just
yeah,
Robbie.
This whole thing, it's crazy.
L equals MSU squared.
It's crazy how like this stuff gets brought into the best fan base.
That's the best
part. It's like a couple of years ago, I brought this up. Like, you know what? State cannot win on the same day, and it was like
I've been saying it for years.
It was like a joke.
Yeah.
Like, because it happened a few times in a row, like, basketball would win and baseball would lose, and it was, like, back and forth. So I was like, it's science. It's just science. It worked out that way, and here we go. And we got the game moved on Wednesday, mm-hmm. and we have, like, a dozen people in the mentions on Mississippi.
Talking about science.
Thanks for applying the science here. It's crazy.
The science is never a joke. I just want to let you know.
It's not. This is truth.
That's why it's science. All right. Let's start with baseball. Didn't expect that. And I have a question. Let's get I got a nitpick to get out of there,
mm-hmm.
because they destroyed Southern Miss, right? 18-3, 20 hits.
Spanked them.
Yeah, just beat them down. But Pruitt wasn't very good.
Yeah, he wasn't.
So, you know, we were all like, okay, he needs to move for the weekend. And then he goes that. So do we have second thoughts about that now? I want to get that. That's the only negative thing to get it. I want to get it out of the way.
I think that the mean is he's a solid starter, that he can come out and give you like an opener, like, you know, 4 or 5 innings. I think that's what you would get more often than not. He was not, and Lamona said at postgame, the off-speed pitches were not really landing.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't throwing those for strikes, and they were laying off those. He walked 3 guys. That hurt him.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a couple of defensive miscues, too. I would say two of the 3 runs were on the defense.
Yeah.
Just, you know, Ace Reese threw one wide of the bag at first, mm-hmm. and it turned into a two-bagger. Reed Stallman had a sack fly that, honestly, with a good throw, you probably nab the guy at the plate. And he thought there was three out.
I'll be honest. I think if he just comes in and catches the ball and
just looks,
the runner's not going to go.
I don't know what happened there. But,
he had a brain fart.
People will tell you that's coaching. I mean, if you are a junior and senior in college, I think he's a senior.
Yeah.
If you're at that stage, that's not on coaching. Coaching doesn't tell you at this stage how many outs there are in the inning. Like, you should know that. You should be paying attention. And he just wasn't right there. It was just, like you said, a brain fart. So I think two runs really cost him there. But he also cost himself another run by walking a guy.
Yeah.
So wasn't sharp by any means. I think at the end of the day, I still think that he's going to be a weekend starter for Mississippi State. I think he's got more of the mentality that you need out of a starter. We'll just see what they do with it. I mean, Ligon this weekend, I don't think you're going to learn anything good.
Right.
You're playing a really bad team. If he comes out and strikes out, you know, eight batters and five innings with one walk or something, like, I don't think you really gather a ton from that.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Like, I don't come away from that thinking,
I'm not.
Oh, he's ready now.
I'm not learning anything.
That's going to be – that's falling for something if you do that.
Agree.
But you can be reassured that he's not going to be the guy if he comes out and he walks four in three innings against a really bad team. So, I don't know what's going to happen, but next week's big for Mississippi State. Mm-hmm. And this week, obviously, you need to sweep the series and sweep it easily. Next week is very big.
Yeah. This game, I thought it would be close. It was going back and forth early, and then State just opens up the floodgates on Southern Miss. And I know Southern Miss treated it as a bullpen day. They pitched a lot of guys in this, but two things I take from that. Southern Miss's bullpen should not be so bad that State can put up 18 runs on them. And even if that is the case, their batters are still their starting batters, and they didn't do very much. Chase Hungate was very, very effective in relief. I love seeing Evan Sierry for the last inning, because you and I both know he just throws strikes.
Yeah.
And he'll pitch to contact, and he's like, if you hit it out, hit it out. We're up 15, you know, and we'll just go from there. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was a great move there. This was the kind of game they needed. They needed to take some frustration out on an opponent, and it just happened to be Southern Miss today.
And you know, the people that are, you know, that they just don't like Chris Simonis and they're going to hate on this, you can't really come out of this and say, well, the opponent sucks.
Right.
This was a top 20 team.
That beat you 2 weeks ago.
That beat you 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So it was by every measure, it was a great win.
Mm-hmm.
For Mississippi State, as Rick Stansbury would say. And up and down the lineup, you got contributions. Ross Highfield right now is on the struggle bus.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way around it. At the plate, behind the plate, he's just struggling. He's the only starter that didn't get a hit in this game. But the middle of the order, man, that looks like murderer's row
mm-hmm.
when they're locked in.
Yeah.
Reese
Sullivan, Stallman, that's a good
And this is three, this four, is five. The potential that I've seen in this team for the first part of the year. I know a lot of people are really down on this team after what we've seen, and they've taken their lumps. I understand that. But I just see something in this team. I can't really pinpoint why I'm confident about a team that's 8-4 through the first 12 games. But I just feel like they have something that could be really good for this season. And you look at Reed Stallman was 1-for-3, but he did drive in two runs. But mm-hmm. after him, Chance, Reese, Noah Sullivan, and Nolan Stevens.
Yeah, Stevens is what I meant to say, not Stallman. But yeah, go ahead.
That is 2 through 5.
That's your two through five today, yeah.
Bryce Chance, 2-for-4 with a home run.
Mm-hmm.
Ace Reese, 3-for-5, 4 RBI, home run and double. Noah Sullivan, 4-for-4, 3 RBI with a home run. And then Nolan Stevens, 3-for-4, 3 RBI, 2 home runs. That's pretty freaking good. And then right after that, Hunter Hines, I thought, had 2 really good at-bats,
mm-hmm.
drove in a couple of runs. It's just this lineup, if they ever figure out who to put in there and you have your core guys, it can be a really, really, really good lineup down the line. And you might not have, like, your 9 guys. This might be a situation where State has like 6 mm-hmm. that they play every day, and then the other 3 kind of fluctuate. And I think that's okay. I think it's okay to mix and match. I actually asked Lamonis about that post game, what he wants. Does he want his core 9, or does he like the fact that he can kind of change it up due to the matchups? And he likes having those options, and he's got plenty of options, man.
Yeah.
They got We've been talking about the depth of this offense, and it's real. I don't think there's anything, fool's gold about it. I think they really do have a ton of options here as far as hitting is concerned. Now, the defense is your issue.
It's an issue right now.
The defense has got to get a lot more tightened up, especially in the infield. And I wonder how much of that is, the guys just haven't played a lot together. Ace Reese has not been a third baseman. You've had about four or five different second basemen. You've brought Hunter Hines in and out of the lineup. There's this group has doesn't have a lot of chemistry and a lot of flow to it. So that might be a work in progress all year, but that needs to be tightened up for Mississippi State to make a run this year. And then the pitching rotation. There's still things that are unsettled with this team, but this was definitely a really good win for Mississippi State. You had not beaten anybody good
Yeah, this is the
at this
first one.
point. This is the first game, and Missouri State might end up being good at the end of it, but right now they're not.
Yeah.
This was the first time that you beat a team that I would say is like a bona fide like NCAA tournament team, potential host team. This is a good win.
Yeah.
And you didn't just beat them, you killed them.
Yeah.
You basically shut up every single Southern Miss burner account on the internet that was crowing about
Oh, they'll have something to say.
that. You probably won't get very many that want to talk about this game tomorrow, though.
We'll see. I had a guy hit up the text line. Was like, State fans bragging about this, like it's a big deal. It's like the Yankees beating a double A team. I'm like, first off, you're talking about your own team there, but secondly,
Yeah, so your
but
team's a.
secondly, who bragged?
Nobody.
Yeah,
Nobody was taught. I didn't see. Well, I mean, I'm sure there were
I'm sure there are a
several,
few
but
burners, but who
burners.
cares? Those guys don't count, so
These burners
they're
are
out of control.
the bane of our
Just
existence
leave it
right
at
now.
that. I mean, when you look at the what these guys are hitting right this second, Chance is hitting 356, Reese hitting 348, Sullivan's hitting 410, Stevens is hitting 393. Garrick Fry was 1-for-1 today as a pinch hitter. He's hitting 478 on the season. Downs was a pinch hitter today, and he's hitting 292. Stallman's hitting 370.
Top
Even,
five in the order, no strike, a one strikeout.
yeah, and even at the bottom of the lineup, Dylan Cupp's hitting 300. He's getting on base.
People have labeled Dylan Cupp poorly.
Yeah, he can
They're
play.
trying to compare him to Lane Forsythe, and he's not Lane Forsythe.
No, I agree with
He
that.
he's putting together productive at bats. He's not striking out very often. He's like you said, he's hitting 300 at the bottom of the order. If you get 300 from him at the nine hole, you're pretty freaking good.
Yeah.
Like I just kind of want 270. If he
Yeah.
can hit 270,
I think people forget that sometimes. Like in baseball, like not everybody's going to hit 350.
no.
If your number nine hitter is hitting 260, you're pretty good.
And he is going to make some spectacular plays at shortstop, and he's going to make most, if not all, of the routine plays. So if you have a shortstop that I would consider, above average, I think he's got above average skill at that position. If you got a guy that's able to do that and he's batting 280, 275, take it.
Yeah.
Take it all day. I think back to what was his name? What was the shortstop at Ole Miss?
Gonzalez?
No, the one that was there before Gonzalez, this plays for the Astros.
Oh, Greg Kessinger.
Kessinger.
Yeah.
Remember when he first got there, he was batting like 220
He
or
couldn't
something.
hit.
And, he was spectacular at short.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, like, if this guy could just hit like 270, that's an
By the end of his career,
All-American
he's a
type.
decent hitter.
He was,
Yeah.
but that's kind of what you're looking for in guys like Dylan Cup. But now I think he's starting to come around and he's really become a productive batter. Like
Yeah.
his at bats more often than not are 7-8 pitches. He'll work a walk. He worked two walks in this game.
Yeah.
He doesn't strike out as much. So
I mean,
you're getting.
2-for-2 with two walks
Yeah.
is solid at the bottom of the order.
And you get that from your nine hole and then you turn it over to the top of the order. That's big.
Yeah.
State's had so many nine hole hitters that were just black holes
Yeah.
that you just could not get to roll the lineup over.
Yeah.
Like, just get on base and maybe you can come around and score. That's what you're looking for Dylan Cup. Let's say he's got 7 strikeouts on the year, which isn't terrible.
Right.
12 walks, 7 strikeouts. You know,
yeah, you'll take that.
I mean, he leads the team in walks as a 9-hole.
If you're hitting 300 and you've got 7 walks or that many walks, you're doing fine.
533 OBP, that'll play all day.
Play all day. You did the hard part. You got the win over Southern Miss. Now, it sounds funny, but the easy part is sweeping the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
You should do that. Be 4-0, be 12-4.
And I think you really need to look like this.
Yeah, I agree. Especially against this team. So I learned yesterday this team has never beaten a power conference opponent. They're 2-10 on the year. Never in their history of their school, of their baseball program, have they beaten, never mind won a series, won a game against
the
power. Yeah. I don't know quite why State scheduled this series, but they did.
And you cannot, like, you've got to, it's good for optics to just beat them into the ground.
Yeah,
like,
you should run roll them at least twice this week.
Yeah, and feed them after the games. That kind of stuff's perfectly fine.
Yes.
But if you lose to them, you feed them after the games, I will chastise you.
We're going back after this now? We're going back, and we're going to get back into that well?
Why not?
We were
called out. Sometimes you got to protect yourself, Brian. There's too many times where I've tried to get you to protect yourself, and you'd be like, oh, it's not worth it. It is worth it. You've got to stand for something or you fall for anything. Aaron Tippin told me that.
A great philosopher, Aaron Tippin, told us that. But
he also told me that love hit him like a 10-pound hammer.
Yeah.
So he's a man of wisdom.
I mean, I've never
I saw him at the Neshoba County Fair a few years ago.
I saw him at the amphitheater at Mississippi State.
Really?
Yeah.
That was probably in his prime, too.
Oh, that's fall of 94.
Oh, yeah. Me and my dad wore that album.
You want to know who he opened for?
Sammy Kershaw?
No.
Who?
Diamond Rio.
Yes.
And they'd played Meet in the Middle.
Of course they did.
Unlike they did at the Liberty Bowl.
The 2013 Liberty Bowl. Yeah. Logan Lowry was livid because Diamond Rio was performing at halftime, and they never played Meet in the Middle, which is arguably their best song.
Yeah, so.
Diamond Rio.
He 3 games for Mississippi State. Then they have the 2 on the coast.
Mm-hmm.
They really need to be on a, I guess that would be a 6-game winning streak when they play Texas next Saturday.
All these games are
they need to be winnable.
Yes.
Old Dominion is a program that year in, year out, it's usually pretty good. So that'd be a good win to have on a neutral site too. So we'll see. And Nichols is a bit of postseason team. They don't still have that kid, do they?
No, he went to LSU, I think.
Did he train? Okay.
I think. I could be wrong.
He lasted a year longer at Nichols than I thought he would.
We all thought
he had that great first year. I was like, LSU, baby, he's gone.
Everybody was trying to wheel him into the portal after that freshman year.
Yeah, he gave him another year, I think.
But. Yeah.
All right. Let's talk women's basketball real quick. So I'm doing.
You have to talk. I don't care if anybody's upset about this. You have to talk about this.
So I'm keeping up with the game on Stat Broadcast. And I see State at the 8-minute mark of the third quarter was down 46-34. And I'm like, man, this is.
And it was 46-32 before that.
And I said, that's what it was, 46-32. And I was like, I said on the show, I was like, they need this win. Like, they'll be back on the bubble at best,
mm-hmm.
if they don't get this win. And then by the time I went to the commercial, they had the lead. And then when I came back from the break, they were up 13. They went on a 31-1 run.
31-0. Have you ever seen anything like that?
No.
Like, not against
the closest. So it's
not against Mississippi Valley. Not against. I mean, it just doesn't.
So happen. We were talking about, and last night we were talking about it. The game with LSU and Kentucky from the 90s, where Kentucky was down 31 in the second half, and came back to win. And that's a little different. This was a 30. I've never seen a run like that. The second half, so the third quarter, fourth quarter, the score was 43-16. They held them to 8 points in each quarter. And I'll just go ahead and tell you, if you hold your opponent to single-digit points for 2 quarters in a row, you probably won the game. Just a tremendous turnaround from a team. And from a team that, you know, there have been times this year when they go down and they're just like, they just play out the string. They can't stop turning the ball over. I don't know what flipped the switch there, but man. That was impressive.
Was it Was it 95 when State was
Florida?
down to Florida?
Yeah, they were down 20 and
Down
came back
20.
to
I was we were having that conversation on the message board. I vaguely remember that game. State was down by 20, came back and won by double digits, I think, against Florida. This was the most improbable turnaround I've seen in a game like this, I think. We've seen, like, somebody against a non-conference team, they're down by 10, 12, and they end up winning by 30 or something. We've seen that before. But an SEC game, an SEC tournament game, to be down by 14, it's difficult to kind of
Well,
get that going.
be down 14 at one point in the third quarter, and then when the end of the third quarter comes, you're up 17. That's a
It was
massive
a
change.
20-0 run by State to end the third quarter, and they went up by 9, and then they scored 11 more points after that to get total control. It was crazy, but that's kind of the frustrating thing about this team is they can have these spurts. Like, you see these spurts, and you're like, dang, this team actually looks pretty good. And it's Missouri. Missouri was 3-14 this year. One of their wins was against Mississippi State. But State has really struggled with Missouri over the years. Vic Schaefer struggled with
I
Missouri.
remember them coming in here and beating
They
them.
beat
They were undefeated when they beat them.
an SEC champion, Mississippi State.
That was their only loss.
And they almost beat them the year before at Missouri. State had to hit a shot in the final seconds. Victoria Vivian's hit a shot. So State has really struggled against Robin Pinkton, who is this is her this is it
Their
for her.
last go, that's their last game,
They've struggled against them, and they struggled against them this year. And the person I thought what was really fitting about this, the person that was out for this game in the first time they met, Destiny McFall, she had the flu the first time around, and I don't think there's any argument against the fact that State wins that game with her playing. She scored 19 in this game and had 16 in the second half. She was 6 of 6 for the field. She hit all four of her three pointers. She finished with 19 points. She had the big three at the buzzer at the end of the third quarter, and that was kind of a dagger.
Locked in.
Yes,
They're in now.
100%. If
Okay.
they don't get in, it'll be the biggest shock I've seen. This is a team they have now 8 SEC wins. They don't have a large number of quad one wins, but they don't have any real bad losses either. They're like the men. They have no quad three or quad four losses, and they won't have any quad three or quad four losses
Right.
because their next game is against quad one Ole Miss.
Can they beat that? Can they beat the Rebels?
They can win that game,
They
but
were leading that game for a good chunk of it here in Starkville, but then
they were
it
winning the
got away.
game with 4 minutes left, and they just couldn't finish. It's going to take a lot of toughness. Ole Miss is very tough. They wear on you physically. They're playing decent basketball right now. They just got a win at LSU. The good thing is, every now and then, just about every year, you'll see a team that gets that bye. And the team that was playing in that first round game gets an upset in that second round game because they've played a game, they've knocked off some rust. Playing in that neutral site venue sometimes can be a little weird. There's a lot of empty seats behind the goal. It's a different place. You're not used to it. State's now played a game in it. Now, when you get to the quarterfinal, it's a lot tougher because that's third game in 3 days. And
I will say though, for Ole Miss, they're playing trying to lock up a host.
yes,
So they have something to play for. It's not a situation where they can just
if
like
State
add.
wins this game, you probably see Ole Miss drop to a 5.
So
And
something to keep an eye on.
it's big for both teams. If State wins,
It's bigger.
State could potentially move to a 7.
It's big for me.
It is big for
It's
you.
another one on the on the tally.
That's
I could
right.
use the points here.
That's
So
right.
we'll see what happens. All right, let's move into our second spring preview. And that's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District, the place to find smoked Southern soul food. And of course, the older brother, the home of the fancy sandwich. My friend, we got Sam going to restaurant Tyler. That's next stop is the older brother. He's been to Two Brothers. So, we can go there, but we need to introduce him to the older brother as well.
Yes.
So we're gonna get this young man
We're going to get him
culturally
acclimated.
educated here.
We're getting him
And
acclimated.
we're gonna do that. And we're trying to get you to do it too. So if you're gonna be in Starkville anytime soon, you probably have been to Two Brothers and you should probably go back because it's awesome. But you may not have been to the older brother. Just opened up last summer. It is become Starkville's best new restaurant. It's a great place to go eat. You need to go check it out. Two Brothers Smoke Meats and the older brother in the heart of the Cotton District. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems, and they've been doing it for 50 years.
50, brother.
That finger was right in the camera. It's like Uncle Robbie wants you. Calm down. What do you need? Robbie gets excited about copiers.
I love my copiers.
I know you do. When you need a copier, you need a printer, you need a computer, you need to call Advantage Business Systems. And then when you do, not only are you going to get a great product at a great price, but you're going to get a guarantee of service after the sale. You know that you can make one phone call to a Mississippi number, talk to another human being on the other end of the line that you probably have already met, and they're going to get you taken care of immediately. 601-362-9192. Or visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Before you go to your next game here in Starkville, make sure you make a trip over to Maroon & Co. What's the weather going to be? I mean, this is Mississippi in the spring. Is it going to be 40 degrees outside? Is it going to be 75 degrees outside? If you pack the wrong thing, you need to change it up, head over to Maroon & Co. Or just go grab yourself something new because you deserve it. And use our promo code THUNDER15 to save 15% off regular price. Some exclusions do apply. Before you go to your next Mississippi State game, make a trip to Maroon & Co. All right, back on the spring previews, let's talk about the Arkansas Razorbacks, a team that will be very interesting to watch. One of the many teams in the conference with a coach who enters the season very much on the hot seat, and a team that Mississippi State will play this year. Let's get a quick look at the Hogs from our friend Jackson Fuller from the Southwest Times Record. Let's continue our spring previews with the Arkansas Razorbacks with a man of taste, of intellect, Jackson Fuller, covering the Hogs, and of course a Chelsea man. That's what keeps him in my good regards there. Although this, I don't know, man. I just don't know.
We will not make judgments until the end of the season.
Okay. All right. No, I'm with you on that. Let's make some judgments about Arkansas. And I'll just start with what I feel is like the most obvious question, and it has to do with Sam Pittman. Is that, in your opinion, the hottest seat in the SEC?
You know, that's an interesting question because like his seat's not as hot as it was last year. I think that has to be like the natural kind of evolution when you enter a season completely on the hot seat and you don't get fired. I think you have to have a little bit more job security. And while I think that's true, their schedule, man, is just so tough. They got home Notre Dame, at Memphis, at Ole Miss in the first 5 weeks. Like, it really does feel hard to envision him escaping it for a second year, but they, you know, 7-6 last year, nobody thought that. Everybody was saying 4-8. So all things considered, I think the frustrating thing for Arkansas fans is that last year felt like they could have done even more, like they were way better than expected and they didn't capitalize on that. So yeah, I would say he's probably got the hottest seat in the SEC, but it's still colder than last year. And that's going to be a good feeling for Sam coming into this year.
You know, if you just watched him play Mississippi State, Talen Green was the best quarterback in college football. That guy had an unbelievable day down here in Starkville. He had some great moments a season ago, but he had some down ones as well. We'll just say that he was inconsistent in his first season as a starter. Another year now in this system and another year in Fayetteville, you know, how much better can he be for this Arkansas team?
You know, I think that the coaching staff, Talen himself, some of his teammates have said, even dating back to the middle of last year, they thought like year two and Bobby Petrino's scheme was going to be big for him and just like continuing to develop, getting more experience in that scheme. And I think that's the case. But as we've been talking about with this team for the past 2 years now, it just comes down to the offensive line. That Mississippi State game, he had protection because the Arkansas offensive line was able to go against Mississippi State's defensive line and have success. And Talen had success. And it's really, I think, that simple for Talen this year. I think he's got all the tools to even become an NFL quarterback one day. You know, maybe not a starter, you know, but he can be a guy that's in the league because of his unique arm talent and athleticism. But he's not going to be able to show that if the offensive line is not very good this year. And that's a huge question mark given the transfers and some of the guys that left.
Was just about to hit on that. When you look at, you know, this is obviously a very preemptive depth chart, but 7 offensive starters from the transfer portal coming in for the Hogs, 3 of them on the offensive line. Are there too many new faces on this Arkansas team for you to think they can be too successful, or do you think they can mesh quickly?
No, I think because they have the quarterback, because they have a senior offensive lineman who was really good for them last year in Fernando Carmona, and because of, like we just Bobby Petrino, like, I mean, there is proof that offenses improve with more experience in his system. I think just the entire coaching staff being together for another year on that side of the football, I don't think the number of transfers is the issue. I'm just a little bit worried with the talent at, especially at the wide receiver spot. I think the offensive line has potential to mesh into a good unit, but it's just a complete unknown. The receivers give me a little bit more concern. There's just not a lot of established, power four production there, and some guys are going to have seasons that they've never had in their careers, I think, for this offense to live up to the type of ceiling it has with Talen Green.
Outside of the games against Oklahoma State, and of course that game went into, I think, double overtime, and the game with Ole Miss, Arkansas was pretty good defensively a season ago in terms of keeping people off the scoreboard. They took a big step forward, and I think that was a big reason for their success a year ago. What is that defense going to look like this season, and maybe who are some of the new faces on that defense you're looking forward to finding out about this spring?
This team is so weird, man, because sorry, excuse that. There's just a but to everything. I really like almost every part of this defense, but their best player last year, Landon Jackson, is gone, and I have no idea how they're going to replace not only his production, like the numbers weren't mind-boggling. Like, I think he finished with 6 or 7 sacks last year, maybe got to that 8 number, but just his impact. Like, I mean, he was clogging up double teams, stopping the run, getting after the passer. There's no obvious guy to do what he did last year. And I think that's a huge, huge loss. But, when you look at the linebackers, they've got Steven Dix and Xavier Sory coming back. Cameron Ball is a good defensive tackle. The secondary transfers are the guys that are interesting, and particularly Jordan Young. I think he can be a real impact player for them. At cornerback, it just kind of depends if they want him in the nickel or out wide.
What are the position battles that they're going to get settled out this spring that you've got the biggest eye on?
Wide receivers number one. We already talked about that, but they got, 5 transfers, 3 guys coming back, maybe, 4. But I could see about between 6 guys there. I could see the fall depth chart looking any way between those 6 guys. I really have no idea what to expect at wide receiver. I think the name that Arkansas fans really want to develop into the guy is Courtney Crutchfield. He was a top recruit coming out of the state 2 years ago, went to Missouri, transfers to Arkansas back home. It would be like just an invigorating thing for the fan base if he comes back and has a big year. And then the other one's probably in the interior of that offensive line. Just what is this going to look like when they shuffle some of the guys around? Who is competing at the guard and center spots, and who eventually does win? But I think they're high on Amarian Harris and Kobe Brannon, the 2 guys that came back, and potentially those could be the starting guards for Arkansas this year.
Just as an unbiased observer, I want Omega Blake to have a great year just because his name is Omega Blake. I feel like that's something we need in the SEC this year.
He's an electrifying guy. I mean, I think he averaged more than 20 yards a reception for Charlotte last year. Some ridiculous number like that, and he's a deep threat. I don't know what his consistency level can be in the SEC, but if he finds it, he's going to be a great weapon for Talen.
You kind of mentioned it. The first 6 games for Arkansas. I mean, I guess when we're in the SEC, I could keep going if I wanted to. But they start off. They should be 2-0. The Alabama, A&M, and Arkansas State. But then it's at Ole Miss. Is that game at Memphis? At Memphis, it's in the Liberty Bowl. Okay, so that's a tough road trip. They host Notre Dame, then they're at Tennessee. That is a really tough stretch, and they could be a much improved team and not have much to show for it as far as the record goes. Is this a year though for Pittman where it's about the record? It's not about, look, we know the team looks better. They have to win games.
Brian, man, you just nailed every the general outlook that I have on this season. I am one of the rare, I think I'm in the minority among Arkansas media members that I think that this team has a good chance of being more talented than last year across in terms of overall depth and talent. They're missing some star power right now, and that's probably the biggest concern. But I think they can be a more talented team and have a worse record this season than they did last year. And not only a worse record, like potentially by 2 games, where they go from 6-6 to 4-8. Just Notre Dame, I mean, they were so close to a national title this year coming to Arkansas. I mean, the crowd's gonna be great for that game. And I think the one thing that Arkansas fans can take solace in is they had been kind of missing that signature win at home for the past 2 years, and then they got it last year against Tennessee. So maybe that can crop up again. But yeah, it's all about the win. Sam's got to find a way to get at least 6, and probably 7.
Has Arkansas ever played Notre Dame before?
No, they were supposed to, I don't believe so. They were supposed to play them during the COVID year. And
Oh, okay.
so this
I
is
got
the
you.
makeup for that. Yep.
Last question is the same question I'm going to ask everybody I do these interviews with. Today is March 5th. If I come back to you on December 5th, what are you saying about this Arkansas football team?
I'm saying that they lost a lot of close games, some similar problems to Sam Pittman's previous year, shot them in the foot. They had a good team, though, and still went 5-7 in the SEC. And I don't know what Hunter Yurecek, the athletic director, is going to do about that, because that probably results in a firing. But the schedule is so hard, man. Like, I 5-7 is, it's not good enough, but it could have been a lot worse.
I feel like if it's 5-7, Jackson, you're going to be firing up the hot board for somebody. You'll have some content
I
to
think so.
do. Yeah.
I definitely think so. I just don't know, like, how many coaches in America do better than 5-7 with this roster and this schedule.
You're not wrong. Jackson Fuller from the Southwest Times Record. Always a pleasure to have you here on the podcast. We will certainly talk to you again as we get closer to the season.
Thanks for having me, Brian.
Robbie, if I made you put money on it today, is Sam Pittman still the head coach of the Arkansas Razorbacks on January 1st of 2026?
I feel like that we have this conversation every year with him,
We do,
and he keeps surviving. Like, he does just enough.
he's like a bad penny.
Yeah, he does just enough to survive. I like Sam Pittman a lot. I just don't think that it, like, I think his ceiling is extremely low. As a head coach, and I don't ever foresee him being a playoff contender or anything like that. I don't. It's an interesting question, because you do have your quarterback back, and that's a big piece. And me,
I
like
thought they did okay in the portal as well.
I always put a premium on your quarterback, and I thought he played pretty well down the stretch. And they did with Bobby Petrino. I thought the offense was more dynamic. So, I don't know. Like, did he say, like, what the expectations are?
Well,
What are their expectations?
said they expect to go to a bowl game, but to be better than 6-6 going to a bowl
If
game.
they win 8 games,
He's fine.
he's in. He's good.
Okay,
It's
so I'm not. I'm
Mississippi State situation. Like,
we're not on the record here for our predictions, but this is their first 6 games. All right. Now the first two, Alabama A&M and Arkansas State, right? Nice, easy, off to a 2-0 start, right? At Ole Miss, at Memphis.
Ooh,
I
that's
know.
interesting.
They host Notre Dame at Tennessee. I mean, that should be 2-4, and you still have to go to Texas. You still have to play Missouri. You got to go to LSU. You got to play Texas A&M. It's going to be tough to get to six. I mean, they
This
should
might
win three.
be.
They should win two of their non-conference games for sure. But at Memphis is no sure thing. They won't beat Notre Dame. They get to host Mississippi State. They get to host Auburn. It's going to be tough.
It's gonna be tough.
So.
I don't think he's gonna make it to 8 for sure.
So now that being said, if Talen Green can play the way he played against Mississippi State every game, they will go undefeated and win the national title. But other than that,
But he won't.
he won't. So that's the problem.
Yeah.
All right. Are we doing the rumblings? Or are we gonna put them off for a week?
We can. I didn't even think about it. I guess we
All
can.
right, well, you send it out then.
Okay.
And we'll do those on Friday's show, and we'll do another abbreviated version. We'll pick the best of the best questions.
Oh.
Well, I think it actually works better that way because you get some duds in there. You get some repeats too. So, we'll do that. Plus, we'll re-preview Mississippi State's trip to Arkansas. We'll talk a little more baseball, and then I think starting maybe not this week, but next week, we really need to start talking some Mississippi State football. Spring practice is going to get started up pretty quickly here, and something we need to talk about. I want to see the score before I let you go here because I don't know if you know it or not.
Ole Miss and Tennessee.
Final score, Oklahoma 96, Missouri 84.
Saw that.
That's crazy.
Oklahoma is getting hot.
They're on the bubble. They need to win. They need to win Saturday, but they got
They
a
might get
shot.
in now. They've got two quad one wins now over. Well, no, State's not a quad one for them. It's a quad two because
Well, yeah, State's.
State's 30.
What are they, what are we now? What is it now?
I haven't looked
It
today.
was 30, which means we were on the
On
line
the
there.
edge.
State is down to 33, so
Yeah,
now it's
that's quad
quad
two.
two.
But the Missouri is. Was that at Missouri?
It was at home. It was at
Okay.
Oklahoma. So
Okay.
there you go. All right.
Yeah, they might get in.
We'll see what happens. All right, guys. Talk to you guys tomorrow. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk,
So,
Mississippi.
you think you're untouchable?
Word life. This is basic thugonomics. This is basic thugonomics. Word life. I'm untouchable, but I'm forcing you to feel me. Word life. This is basic thugonomics. Word life.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.